Welcome back to Fathom FinTech Podcast, where we talk about the future of financial services. Today, we are diving into the world of SME banking. If you run a small or a mid-sized business, you already know the pain. Juggling multiple banking accounts, chasing down the payments, managing payroll, taxes, rent, and vendors, often with tools that were never really built for you. But in the past 5 years or so, we've seen a wave of new players, often referred to as SME challenger banks, that are building the infrastructure to make business banking actually work for small businesses. And today we have Ahmed Shafiq on the show, who is the co-founder of one such Toronto-based challenger bank called Well. We'll be talking about the current state of SME banking, what are the challenges that are faced by small businesses while managing their finances, and the upcoming innovations in the space, both in Canada but other parts of the world as well. So without any wait, let's get into it. Hi, Ahmed. Welcome to the show.
No, thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Hope you're doing well. Really excited to talk about some of the big announcements your team has been making on social media. Really love how dynamic the product that you're building, how dynamic that is, and really looking forward to learn about some of those inner scoops from your world. Before we start, let's start with your journey, Ahmed. What led to you launching When, now called When? It was a few weeks ago called Vault. So we'll talk about the rebrand as well. But tell us a little bit about your background story.
For sure. No, thanks for having me. And a little bit about me and my background, I'll kind of go a bit into where I grew up and how I got here. Essentially, I grew up in the Middle East, was going between Egypt and Kuwait, and then a little bit of Saudi Arabia, and then eventually moved to Canada for better education. I moved here in high school and then quickly realized that I like numbers and finance and ended up doing that for my undergrad. I ended up studying at Ryerson and then quickly shifted to figure out that I wanted to go into consulting. It's the typical path, either go into consulting or banking. Ended up picking consulting because it was going to expose me to a lot of different customers and clients and different industries, but quickly realized that I like to specialize in banking. So I was doing a lot of financial services consulting with the Big Five. And what that actually meant is doing a lot of research on fintechs and was always looking to Europe. Europe always was the most advanced landscape when it comes to fintech. They always had Monzo, Revolut, Starling, etc. And obviously stumbled upon Revolut when I was doing a lot of research and saw that they wanted to expand into different markets. And one of those markets was Canada. So funny enough, I ended up reaching out to their team to tell them I want to join their expansion team and ended up joining as the second employee on the Canadian side after my co-founder, Saud. He was the first employee here. And we quickly started looking at how to build the consumer challenger bank that they had in the UK and in Canada. And I was working a lot on product. So it worked on prepaid cards, stock trading, FinCrime product, et cetera. Worked there for about 3 years. And then Canada didn't work out for Revolut for many different reasons, but eventually moved to another French company called Sunday for a short stint there. But it was always in the back of my mind after me and Saud left, let's go back home and actually make a difference in banking here. So that's how I ended up getting to Venn or Vault back then, but it was mainly getting exposed to UK fintechs and seeing how good banking could be there.
Right. Oh, that's a great story. And I think Revolut is in news now in terms of they're planning a move back again. And
yep.
But that's amazing. And I suppose you met your co-founder during your Revolut days as well. So Odyssey's, I believe he was part of the team that was trying to set it up, set Revolut up in Canada back in 2019, 2020?
Yeah, exactly. We've been working together for a while now. I think it's 6-7 years. Funny enough, he actually interviewed me in a coffee shop when I joined Revolut. So he was a few months in and he interviewed me for the role. So we've been working together for a while now.
Right. Now that's amazing. And tell us a little bit about Wren. It's a challenger bank, but not for consumers. It's not for retail consumer. It's for small businesses. Tell us a little bit about the product suite that you have.
For sure. So Wren is an all-in-one financial platform to help SMBs in Canada manage their finances better and easier, all online. What's unique about us is we consolidate and combine a lot of many financial services and products into one. So we make the life of a business owner or a small company 10 times more efficient. And that goes from accounts, transfers, FX. Recently, we launched invoices. So we're combining a lot of the fragmented solutions into one. And we try to make it in a more homogeneous and holistic solution where money moves between these products much easier.
Wow, that's great. And I would love to dive into some of the recent announcements, as I said, you made. One of that is actually, first of all, congratulations on the Series A raise, 21 million. I think that's a big
Appreciate it.
feat considering the economic and political situation we are in. I feel it's a big feat right now. But generally too. And then you also rebranded from Volt to Wren. So has there been a bigger evolution behind the scenes that led to this rebranding?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's directly related to that is the evolution of our product. Initially, when we first launched Jan 2023, it was more of a limited product set and it was mainly around accounts, which funny enough helped us come up with the name Vault. But as we built the product became more wide and expanded the suite. It felt that the name didn't represent how much we've built, and we kind of shifted and thought about how do we rebrand to make it a bit more direct to explain our current product set, which Venn and directly came from a Venn diagram, essentially, and it's the combination of many different financial products into one.
Oh, love that. So let's talk about the SME space, Ahmed, and you were working in the retail challenger banking space before. What made you to, think of SME space, and what were the gaps that we had back then and we still have now, in the Canadian market? Basically, what does SME banking right now, look for a small business owner in Canada right now?
For sure. And it's partly even what inspired us is both me and Sad's parents are SMEs. So we've seen them on a daily, weekly basis deal with what's available today. So even before Revolut, we knew how much fees they paid, what are the fragmented solutions, they still have to go to the branch, et cetera. And it's essentially what the experience still is like today. I think on the consumer side, there's been a lot of innovation by other fintechs, but on the SMB banking side, it's still what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Typically, banking is still done at the branch. So you still have to go to the branch, wait a few hours in line, talk to a branch manager to send a wire internationally or to make any changes to your account. Typically, you still have to go call someone at the bank to make any changes. And then in combination to that, you're paying a lot of fees for very basic financial services. So whether it's receiving money, sending money, FX, you still have to pay very high markups. The second piece to it is it's very fragmented. So people still, or businesses still have to use a bank or one of the big five, but also they have to use many fragmented other solutions and fintechs to deal with other different parts of financial services. So AR, AP, credit card processing. FX, et cetera. And then you find a business is now using 5 to 10 other platforms plus their bank to manage their finances. And for a business, if they're 5 employees or even 25 employees, it's a headache to manage all those platforms. And then add the delay and fees that you have to pay to manage money and movement between those platforms. So that's typically the state today is still at a branch level, not online, and a lot of fragmentation. And that just adds more fees and onus on the businesses. Bottom line, but also adds time and headache to the business's owner as well.
Right. Which is, time taken away on from them, during which they can probably focus on increasing the growth of their business, right? So
Exactly.
that's very interesting. And you've touched on so many I guess challenges and gaps here. Definitely convenience is a big part, and do things instantly through the comfort of your home or from your small business location, but also the fact that it costs them more, and it's fragmented across different solutions that they're using in addition to the primary bank that they use. So what? How does? And we have seen some of the launches in Canada. At presently, I think we have over 20 challenger banks that are operating and offering services to small businesses, and they've. Few movements. I feel like Big Six are also watching, and they are also SME is big on target for them as well. And a lot of beyond banking kind of products are also being launched by the traditional banks. But how does then when get into this picture, and what are the challenges that you're solving right now?
For sure. I think when we initially launched, there was a main key pain point that we used to solve, and then we've evolved ever since then. Partly what we saw is a lot of Canadian businesses are starting to go international, as in start to sell into other markets like the US especially. And then on the flip side, they buy a lot of inventory from overseas. So when we came into the market, we saw that managing international banking was a huge pain point, and we designed the product itself to be multi-currency by design. What does that actually mean? As a Canadian business now, you get access to international accounts in the US, in Europe, in the UK to help you save and act like a local business in those markets. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you're a Canadian company, software, or you're just a retailer and selling into the US, to receive your USD, typically you had to open a Canadian bank account and receive CAD instead of the USD that you spent on, and you end up getting dinged on 2 to 3 to 4% in FX fees. Venn now offers you a local USD account to receive those USD in a local currency in that market, and you get the money faster and you don't have to incur FX fees. So generally, we started seeing that trend, and that's where we launched these multi-currency accounts initially. And then we've expanded ever since then into expense management, AP, AR, because we heard many times from companies that I don't want to use 7 different softwares. I just want to use one platform as the source of truth. Manages all my financing. And then that's where we started to expand. And that was the evolution of the name as well, as we started to launch all these products. So initially we were helping with international banking. And then ever since then, we've expanded to many different financial services products.
Right, right. And the fact that you mentioned about the international expansion of Canadian businesses, I think COVID had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Because I usually say, and it's a fact, we did not have challenger banks serving SMEs in Canada before the pandemic. Most of them were launched during that period. And I think that it was the need of the market at that time, because a lot of small businesses at that time were selling in different parts of the world and started to expand more of their online presence. But a lot of multi-currency account solutions kind of came out of the pandemic for small businesses. But you touched on the accounts payable and accounts receivable product as well. And you recently launched invoicing as part of the solution. Can you touch a little bit on that? Because there are solutions like obviously the big players, QuickBooks and invoicing, QuickBooks and Xero and others. But how does an experience of having invoicing within a banking platform look like, and what benefits it provides to small businesses?
For sure. I think it goes back to our angle of multi-currency. Generally, what we found when people are using other invoicing products, especially when they're doing international invoicing, is they get hit with FX fees. So for example, I'm a business, I use one of the invoicing platforms. I go invoice in USD, but I have to provide a Canadian bank account. So they end up paying 2 to 4% in FX fees. So we just thought about how can we use our multi-currency accounts, combine it with a multi-currency invoicing product to do one-to-one matching on receivables. So if you use Venn to go invoice your customer 1,000 USD, you're going to receive that 1,000 USD in your Venn USD account same day, because we provide you ACH account details. With other platforms, you typically have to connect them to one of the big 5 or big 6 to receive that USD, but they don't provide you that local USD account. So we just always think about how do we make a business owner's life easier, but also where's the cost savings that we can introduce there. So that was the main idea behind the invoicing product. And then over time, we've evolved it. I think today we just recently announced that we're starting to get into recurring subscriptions and evolve the product even more because business owners are starting to deepen the relationship with one platform versus just use a single platform only for holding money and then six other platforms to do surface level banking or finance features.
Great. And kind of talking about the emerging solutions further in the space, I would love to talk about how you're using some of the emerging technologies and generally leveraging some of the market trends as well. Maybe that's changing yep. demographics of small business owners. There's a huge kind of wealth transfer business succession that's happening around the world, but also in Canada at this point where we are seeing the next generation kind of take over from the previous generation. What's your take on that and how, you're using some of those emerging trends internally as well?
For sure. I'll start with the different shift in generations, if you want to call it, in Canada. I think two parts there. One is, I'll start with that migration piece. What we've seen is a lot of the newcomers coming into Canada and starting new businesses is they're familiar with how good banking is in those countries. So in whether it's in Asia or Europe or in the US and they're immigrating to Canada, they're used to banking being all online, cheaper, better, and faster than what we have today. So that there's been a big shift in the mindset here where they're demanding better products from the banks. 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. So that's one thing. And then you mentioned that the shift in generations. We're seeing more and more younger people take over their business or also starting new businesses, partly because the barrier is much lower now and education is so accessible. So we're starting to see a much younger generation take that leap of faith and the risk to start new companies and they're used to very high tech, whether it's from e-commerce to social to different apps that they use on a daily basis, and they want the same from banking. A 20-year-old who uses their phone nonstop, they're not going to go wait in line for 3 hours to send a bank transfer. They want the same from financial services. So we're starting to see that demand from consumers, from both people coming into Canada, but also the younger generation as well.
Right. And that's very interesting. And what about using some of the, upcoming technologies, emerging solutions that can probably, one, definitely give a better experience to the customer, but also create efficiencies at the back end for the banking world? I'm sure your team is kind of using some of those as well.
So two parts there. Internally, we're becoming a lot more efficient using AI, especially on onboarding and customer support. So you don't have to wait for 5 to 10 minutes on the phone, or you don't have to wait for 45 minutes in a queue and chat support anymore to receive the exact answer that you need or to do something with your account. We've trained a lot of models to make that more efficient for the customer. So the customer experience is getting a lot better from a support side, but also onboarding. It usually takes a few days or even weeks to schedule an appointment with the bank and then wait online to actually open an account. For us, that's one of our differentiation is you can open an account in 5 minutes. So a lot of tech and infrastructure went behind that using new tech, especially on AI, is how to accelerate speed of onboarding and actually have the account be open at the time of pain point versus I face the pain point today and then 3 days later, I get to actually solve the pain point. So that's a lot of it. And then embedded finance is another big piece of it. You're starting to see a lot of the vertical software start to embed payments into it. Right. And then also people are looking for consolidation. So how do we bring those more into one platform? We've started to see a shift there as well.
And when we look at the Canadian space, as I said, we do have a flourishing and growing ecosystem here with over 20 SME challenger banks already operating. But also there are many global ones that offer their services to Canadian businesses that are trying to operate in other countries. Brex, for example, enables Canadian businesses who want to operate in the US market. And there are a few others upcoming like that in the space as well. But generally, when we look at the Canadian SME banking space and then compare it with US, you've worked a lot in the European market. What are the differences that we see?
Yeah, for sure. I think it goes back to the infrastructure that exists and what's available for fintechs. We're probably 5 to 10 years behind when it comes to infrastructure. So that's why the innovation is still behind. And it took some time for fintechs to emerge here, both consumer and business. Whereas in other markets, both licensing and infrastructure is much more ahead. So typically, we've seen the UK and Europe in general was ahead of the US, and then the US caught up, and then Canada is now catching up. So a lot of it has to do with the infrastructure and access that fintechs cannot get access to in Canada, and that's why you see a lot of these bank partnerships or BIN sponsors for the technical side of things. So yeah, I think that's the biggest difference is typically those two. And then I think like the companies that are doing great things in Europe, and then same in the US. Like in Europe, you've also seen Revolut, Monzo, Konto in France, etc., serve SMEs very well. And then on the US side, you mentioned Brex, but we also have Mercury, Roe, Ramp, etc. So helping both tech startups but also SMEs at the same time. There's even deeper solutions that focus on specific sub segments because the market dynamics are a bit different in those geographies. But yeah, we definitely have a lot of things to catch up on.
And I think that's this year that has been a trend, verticalized SME financial solutions. We just had this company, actually, we have qu had quite a few now that are focused, for example, just on professionals in the gym industry or fitness industry, for example. There's another one focused only on ad agencies that we recently had launched in Canada. So that's definitely something I think that is new to this year for Canada in terms of trends, but definitely a big focus for the banks as well. Doctors, for example, has been a big focus for the big banks for many years and continues to be. And they're building a lot of adjacent beyond banking capabilities for these high value kind of customer segments as well. But generally, as well, we were just talking about in another podcast recently about products like business registration, so RBC Owner, and then banks partnering with invoicing, not invoicing generally, but bookkeeping and accounting platforms through one-to-one data agreements. But there's a lot more that's happening in the beyond banking partnerships when it comes to banks or credit unions partnering with fintechs. What do you think, in terms of the market, how it's evolving? How do you think the future will unwrap? Do we see more? Will we see more kind of collaborative solutions launch in the market and less competition, or the other way around?
Yeah, for sure. I think banks and generally credit unions are realizing they can't just compete with table stakes financial services products. You can't just compete based on accounts or just a card, et cetera. So how do you serve your customer better? That's one realization I think is happening. And then the second piece is the demand from the customer. The fragmentation, like I alluded to earlier, is starting to get frustrating for a lot of business owners, both even consumer banking or business banking, and they're demanding a lot more out of the platforms that they use, whether it's vertical SaaS or just banking. So I think a lot of collaboration will happen. I think especially from the big five or six, plus credit unions, they cannot move at the speed of startups, fintechs or non-fintechs. So they have to collaborate because they're gonna takes them 3 to 5 years to launch a net new product. So I think yes, it's gonna move towards that collaboration versus they're gonna try to build a lot in-house. I think they do have an edge when it comes to financial services, especially because the infrastructure and the access that they do have. So I think it really depends what product they want to expand to, or should they actually buy versus build, or should they partner versus build. I think it's if it's unrelated to financial services, they're most likely to partner up. But when it comes to core banking, I think they're still gonna lean to in-house, but it's gonna take them years to launch a product.
But if we, let's say we fast forward to 5 years, what would be the experience for a small business owner look like?
I mean, I hope it's all online in 5 years. So no more branches. At least that's my hope and what we're trying to do. And I think Canada is quite behind when it comes to fintech adoption. So I hope both on consumer and business, fintech adoption skyrockets and surges within the market. And then the other one I'm thinking about is real-time payments, is how do we enable that and move money faster? Obviously, it's still in progress today, but once it's live, how does that actually affect a business's cash flow cycle and day-to-day life? And then I think the last one is just not having to deal with many fragmented solutions, whether it's they use Venn or any other provider. Ideally, it's all in one, and you don't have to deal with seven different providers to make your life a lot easier.
Right. And hopefully, like, we have open banking by then, which also makes,
Yes, I even forgot about it because it's taking so long.
but hopefully that will reduce the fragmentation part of the problem, with easy information flowing, ease of information flowing between different platforms. At least from the customer perspective, hopefully the fragmented part kind of will be taken care of. But what about when? What's next big thing that's coming for? Well, you just got funded and you got rebranded as well, so I'm sure there's kind of a lot of work that went into it. But what's the next frontier? What are some of the new product launches that you're planning? Any expansion plans? Big strategic moves you want to share?
Yeah, for sure. I think people know us for how broad the platform is. I think a big focus for us this year is going to be deepening the feature set into each product that we've launched. So, for example, on invoices, we just launched subscriptions and recurring invoices today. And then we're going to keep doing that across all our products. So there's going to be a pretty big focus is how do we deepen the relationship with the customers across all products. And I think based on our roadmap and what people have seen from us in the past, they should expect more net new financial services products in the future. I can't say too much of what's coming out, but generally, if it has to do with money and it makes a business life easier, we're probably going to tackle in the next 12 to 18 months. Our mission stays the same is how can we make a business's owner's life easier, better, and more efficient when it comes to financial services? How can we consolidate more products into our platform? But yeah, that's kind of the two focuses is one, deepening the solution across all products we have today, and then continue the expansion that we've been doing.
Oh, that's amazing. And in terms of for the business owners who might be listening in, your current target segment is even sole preneurs, so people who are just one person team, and then up to let's say 100 or so.
Yeah, we focus typically on that 1 to 100 employee headcount corporations across almost all industries. There's a few industries we don't serve, but we've been expanding since day one, and we've actually had a decent amount of companies in that 100 to 1,000 employee headcount even join the platform because they're still unserved by the products that are live in the market today. And then we have a few, but not too many above the 1,000 headcount. But our focus today is that 1 to 100 employee headcount, and how can we expand and solve a lot of problems for them?
Right. 100 to 1,000 kind of enters, it's a borderline commercial in a way. So that's interesting. Very interesting that you're getting demand from those segments as well. But that's really wonderful, Ahmed. Thanks for sharing so many insights. I feel we could probably talk about this all day long. There's so many features that exist in other parts of the world, and hopefully your team will take it forward for the country and launch some of those here. But the next for the next round, I have a rapid fire for you. Are you ready for it?
Let's do it.
Okay, so the first one is, what's more stressful, CRA payments or explaining your startup at a family dinner?
It used to be very hard to explain what I do at a family dinner, but it's gotten easier. So I'd say not recently it's CRA tax payments, but in the beginning it used to be explaining what we do.
Yeah, awesome. And what's one outdated SME banking feature you wish would, disappear forever?
Till this day, it's checks. How can we get rid of paper
That's a good one.
checks? Because
Yeah.
a lot of companies still ask us to launch checks, but also they don't want to use it. It's just because they sometimes get paid by check. So how can we get rid of that to make everyone's life easier?
I agree to that from firsthand experience.
Yeah.
And what's a fintech trend that you think is completely overhyped, in your opinion?
I think with trends generally, like if it contains a lot of buzzwords, it's usually overhyped. But one that comes to mind is alternative data. So a lot of people in the last 5 years have been talking about alternative data for underwriting. But we still haven't seen mass adoption in it yet. Obviously, I hope it gets there, but that one I've seen be overhyped in the last few years.
Right. I think alternative data has been it has been being used for many years, but recently it's becoming like a buzzword for sure, as you said. And what's the biggest myth about SME finance that you'd love to bust once and for all?
I think this one's probably Canada specific, and it's kind of unrelated to not how people manage their finances for SMBs, but people don't realize that 90% of Canadian businesses, or even more than 90%, are sub 100 employees. So SMEs are the backbone of this economy. It's the majority of businesses of I think it's around 98% of businesses are sub 100. So I think when people say they're not worth serving, or they're just like consumers, I think they just need to look at what's the root cause of the issues that they actually face. And it's fundamentally different from consumers. So there's a few things that they need that you can't just solve by white labeling a consumer product and just call it good for SMEs.
That's a great one. And what's the most surprising thing you've learned about how business owners actually manage their finances?
I think the biggest one is probably they don't know how much they pay in fees for the platforms that they use.
Oh, okay. Interesting. It adds up, I guess. You're
Yeah.
signing up for things, subscriptions and whatnot, and definitely adds up at the end of the day. If you could instantly master one skill outside of fintech, what would it be?
This one I'll try to keep non-tech related, but probably figure out how to play a musical instrument. I've always wanted to. I was never good at it. So hopefully one day I'll be good at playing something.
Let's hope for that. And what's one thing Canadian banks do well that people don't give them enough credit for?
This one that comes to mind is private banking. I think generally, once you cross a certain threshold, both on consumer and business, the banks actually treat you well and have good products for you. But that's just not the majority of Canadian businesses. But I'd say they do private banking pretty well.
Interesting. And what's your business habit or hack that you think, completely changed productivity game? Maybe just for you personally as an entrepreneur, but then if you have something for the team, that's good to know too.
I'll try to give you two. One is reminders through Siri on my phone. So if I'm in a meeting or I'm just walking around the office and someone says something and I need to remind myself, I just literally talk to Siri and tell my phone to remind me in 35 minutes or whatever it is. So that's how I keep track of things that I have to do. And then the other one is we push the team to test new products everywhere. I think innovation kind of comes from the top, and you have to keep pushing people. So one thing we have is there's a Slack channel that you can post different tools and things that you've tested, and it's actually making you more productive. So for the rest of the team, they don't have to do as much research as that person. So we try to push that internally as well, is if you've tested something that makes you more productive, post it on Slack and have other people test it in the team too.
No, I love that one. Okay, last one. If you had a billboard in downtown Toronto for one day, what would it say?
It's funny, we're actually thinking about out of home campaigns recently. So I think probably if I had to, what would I do? Maybe skip the branch visits. So you could do a lot of banking without going to the branch using Venmo. So this one's a bit biased.
No, that's great. Well, that was really fun, Emma. Thanks for that. And thanks for taking the time as well and sharing these
Of
amazing
course.
insights from the world of SME banking. I want to wish you luck and to your team as well for the amazing product that you've built. And hopefully, you keep growing big and offering amazing services to Canadian businesses. But thanks again for taking the time.
No, of course. I appreciate you having me. It was a fun conversation. It made me reflect a little bit too, so I appreciate you having me.
Wonderful. All right then. Take care.
Thank you.
And that was Emma Shafiq, co-founder of Wen. Hope you found this conversation insightful. And if you are a financial services professional working at a bank or a credit union and are trying to launch new innovations for your SME clients, or are looking for fintechs to partner with for SME-focused beyond banking solution, or are generally building your SME innovation strategy, Fathom Foresight can help you with all of that and more. We are experts in the fintech and financial innovation space and are driving innovation efforts at many big banks, credit unions, big payment players, and other financial institutions. If you're interested in working with us, you can reach out to us at fathomforesight.com, on our LinkedIn page. All of those details are mentioned below in the description. But with that, that's it for today. I'll see you in the next episode. Take care.